Okay, so William, hello, here it is. Oh my goodness, it's been so long since I've been into this story of the solar hat, and I was so excited to tell it. But here it is. I've got it. I've got the next chapter. This chapter is Squeaky Toy Gets an Upgrade. Oh, Squeaky Toy! Well, this is a chapter in which Squeaky Toy actually gets his solar hat. But it's not as easy as just putting a hat on old Squeaky Toy. Oh no, 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 no. He gets more than a hat. He gets an entire upgrade. So we've got to talk to you about that. Meanwhile, in the last chapter, after I left, Squeaky Toy was almost stolen again. Well, he was stolen. He was kidnapped, but he was rescued. He was rescued by none other than the Ninja Squirrels. You ask yourself, how did the Ninja Squirrels rescue Squeaky Toy? Well, they didn't really try to rescue him, but instead, they jumped all over the chili dog truck as Tony was driving it and distracted Tony, and he went off the road and crashed into a tree. Oh, you remember that? Oh, yay! And then, because after all, Squeaky Toy had to be discovered. Then 3T showed up and started arguing with Kashi and Tony. And then the two sheriffs from the Mounted Police showed up, Darius and Cornelius, and they looked inside and they found Squeaky Toy stuck upside down in the chili pot. They pulled him out, they sent him home covered with chili sauce, and they gave Kashi and Tony a ticket, and they had to take their tow truck and take it back home. Well, I just want to finish with Kashi and Tony. They went in to see Mr. Kamakura-san the next day to explain why they didn't have the little squeaky toy robot, Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. And Mr. Kamakura-san hit the roof. Oh, he hit the roof. You'd think he was like, oh my goodness. He said, "You, Kashi, you're going back to Tokyo right now." Kashi said, "Oh, uncle, it wasn't my fault. Some stupid squirrels jumped all over the. We couldn't see. The squirrels were everywhere. We had them in the chili pot." And then Tony said, "Yes, sir, we had them. We were fine. And then the squirrels jumped all over the front of the windshield, and I couldn't see, and I hit a tree, and then the police showed up, and then they almost arrested us." Mr. Kamakura-san was not taking any of this. He was not happy. He was not at all happy because he had to go back and talk to the big boss. And he didn't want to do that because he knew he would be in trouble. So he said, "Okay. Well, you Kashi, you go back to your job. Keep your head down and don't bother me anymore." And he looked at Tony and said, You, Tony, you, go back to the docks and keep working and keep your head down. If I see you ever again, I'm gonna fire you." Well, Tony didn't want to be fired, so he went down to the docks too. And he went back to his job, pushing boxes into trucks and sending them off. Well, meanwhile, Mr. Kamakura-san, oh, Mr. Kamakura-san had to call Mr. Kusumono-san. Kusumono-san was not at all happy with his regional chief, Kamakura-san. He exploded. He threw things. He went all mad. Oh, everything was broken. He threw his laptop through the window. Oh, boy, were people upset. He said, "Okay, Kamakura-san, you are almost fired, but I'll take things into my own hands." He hung up. And then what did he do? Oh, William, oh, William, oh, William, this is what's going to happen next, but I can't tell you because I have to tell you about the Squeaky Toy upgrade. He called his recovery team. Oh, yes, he called the recovery team. Well, Mr. Kusumono-san does have a recovery team for N squared RT, and that recovery team, it was designed to get back robots. Well, I won't tell you what robots they're supposed to get back. Sometimes they're Kusumono-san's robots, and sometimes they're not. But this team is not a very friendly team. This team is made up of real ninjas. And when I say real ninjas, I mean real ninjas. They don't mess around. They don't screw around. They don't play around. They don't get caught. They don't get stopped. They don't get told what to do. They do what they're told. And Mr. Kusumono-san called up their head and said, "Ganji-san, Ganji-san, I need you to talk to me right now. I need a robot." And Ganji-san, oh, Ganji-san was in Japan at the time. And Ganji said, "Oh, Kusumono-san, Kusumono-sama, so good to hear from you." "Ganji-san, I don't care about that. I need you to send a team. I need you to send a team to skedaddle. I need you to find a robot. I need you to get that robot to me." "Oh, okay, I will do that. I will do that, Kusumono-sama. I will do that. When do you need that?" Kusumono-san, "Immediately. Right now. Right now, if you can." Oh, Ganji-san said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Sumimasen, oh, Kusumono-san, they're all out. I have my best men are in Indonesia right now, and then I've got two other men in Russia, and I've got several people in China who are, oh, they're finding robots. And, oh, I'll get them together. We'll get them out. Ah, it's now Thursday. I'll have them on the plane by Sunday. Kusumono-san, you do that. I want that robot. So, that's what happened. But that's not going to happen for a couple more chapters. So let me tell you what happened instead. Oh, when Squeaky Toy got back, he had to explain. And so did 3T. And they had to talk to Professor Talltale and Tomorrow Tool Talltale and say, well, here's what's been going on. And they explained all about the attempts of Kashi and Tony to steal Squeaky Toy. Oh, Professor Talltale was not happy to hear this. Oh, he was not happy at all. He said, this is what I feared. They're trying to kidnap him. They want to kidnap him to reverse engineer him. They want to take him apart. They want to unscrew his computer. They want to look at how he works. They want to listen to his voice. They want to undo his records. They want to see his operating system. They want to copy his operating system. And then NTR squared, N squared RT. Oh, Kusumono-san. Oh, that villain. He can make copies of Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, and he can sell them, and Mr. Ningyoshi-san will never get a penny, never get a single yen, because he will have his creative property stolen. We can't let that happen. Well, 3T was quite impressed. He'd never heard his father be that angry before. And Tomorrow Tool Talltale looked at 3T and said, how come you didn't tell us about this? How come you didn't tell us about this? Well, William, this is actually a good point to be made. Sometimes you need to tell your parents. Always trust your parents because they are going to take care of you first and foremost. Never be afraid to tell them something, even if you think you'll get in trouble, because it's better than not telling them, because then you'll be in more trouble. So 3T said, Well, the first time I didn't know, and the second time, well, I felt kind of stupid that Ninja Squirrels had stolen them. How could I explain to you that they wrapped me up in cobwebs? And, oh, Dr. Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale looked at each other's eyes. Oh, no. He said, I was afraid. I'm sorry. Professor Talltale said, well, you have to tell us in the future. This is important. And then he looked at Squeaky Toy. It says, Squeaky Toy, how come you didn't tell us? And Squeaky Toy just looked up and said, well, nobody asked me. Oh, dear. This is a lesson to learn with robots, William. Ask a robot. He'll tell you. So they cleaned up Squeaky Toy's clothes. Squeaky Toy went back happily. He picked up all of 3T's toys. He looked at all of Tabitha's toys. He washed the dishes. He tweaked around with the microwave to make it work better. He was so happy. He was doing what he was paid to do, helping out and cleaning things. Professor Talltale looked at 3T and said, you leave Squeaky Toy here tomorrow. I don't want him going out. I don't want him going out because Friday, Mr. Ningyoshi-san is coming into the Skedaddle Airport, and I want to be there to greet him. And we have to be there, and we have to keep Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot safe. So that's what happened. Squeaky Toy hung around the house. Dr. O'Toole Talltale was working on a book, so she was writing all day, humming to herself. And Squeaky Toy did little things that he never really had time to do, like fixing things. Oh, he was so happy. He was so happy. He was fixing little nails in the stairs that had come out. He was fixing screen windows. He was fixing the little dog door so the dog could go in and out. Oh, he was humming to himself. He was cooking. He didn't have a chance to cook when he was running around with 3T. Oh, he made some soup, and he made some bread, and he was so happy. And Thursday passed. Little did he know that Mr. Kusumono-san had called his team to capture him. And then Friday came. 3T went to work. 3T went to school. 3T came home. Professor Talltale went to the university. He came back. He said, oh, time to go. We got to go pick up Mr. Ningyoshi-san. He said, Squeaky Toy, you need to be in your best overalls to see Mr. Ningyoshi-san. And then he looked at 3T and he said, 3T, you're coming with us. And Tabitha said, do I have to go, Dad? And she said, well, you can if you want. Tabitha said, well, I'd rather stay here if that's okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure that Mr. Ningyoshi-san's room is all set up and clean, and I'll make his bed, and I'll make sure it's ready for him. Well, that was good, because actually Mr. Ningyoshi-san's room was Tabitha's room, and Tabitha was going to sleep in a little pull-out bed with her mom and dad. But That's okay. So she made her bed and she put her dollies all around and she made it look really nice. And so it was a really nice place for Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. Well, meanwhile, Tomorrow Tool Tall Tail and Professor Tall Tail and 3T and Squeaky Joy took off in the car. And they drove to the Skedaddle Airport. Well, they were just in time. They got there and waited outside the doors. And all the doors opened. All the people started coming out of customs. One person, two people, groups, little people, big people, fat people, ugly people, beautiful people, all different people. Where's Mr. Nagiyoshi-san? Where's Mr. Nagiyoshi-san? Where's... There at the very end, with a briefcase in his hand, walking along slowly, looking around, enjoying the signature, was this tiny little man. Oh, I mean a tiny. He was small. He was small even by Japanese standards. And Japanese, you'll notice when you go to Japan that you tower above the Japanese because they're generally not a very tall people. That's just the way the Japanese are. Except for sometimes the young ones get growing big, but they're not tall. But you, as an American, William, woohoo, you are a big boy. So he was a small little man. He looked almost frail, and he looked like he was just somebody's grandpa, which he was. And he walked out the door, and he looked at Professor Tall Tail, and oh, the smile on his face as he greeted his old friend, his good buddy, Professor Timothy Tall Tail. And then he spotted Tamara O'Toole Tall Tail, and his grin got even bigger, because both Professor Timothy Tall Tail and Dr. O'Toole Tall Tail had been his students at one time, when he was teaching all about cyber robotics and cyber neuronics, and they had been his star students, and he was so happy when they got married, and he was at their wedding and everything. He even drank too much champagne, but well, that's another story. So he ran as fast as he could, but he was an old guy, so he didn't run fast, and he gave them both big hugs. Oh, big hugs. Oh, big hugs. Oh, so good to see you. So good to see you. Then he looked around, and he said, where did you bring, Agatsuri Ningyo robot? And there behind 3T, out stepped little Squeaky Toy. Oh, Squeaky Toy hadn't seen Mr. Nagiyoshi-san since long, long ago when he gave him to Professor Tall Tail. And he bowed low and he said, oh, my master. Oh, Nagiyoshi-sama, my master, you're back. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, Nagiyoshi-san was so pleased to see his little robot. And he said, but you're talking. You're talking. When do you start talking? So then all three of them started to tell him the story of the toy shop witch and the story of the witch and how he got his voice back. And they were all babbling at the same time. And finally, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, wait, I can't. No, wait. Tell me later. Oh, what's so good to see you, little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. And he bowed as low as he could. And he reached out and he touched little Nagiyoshi robot on the head. And he said, I am so pleased to see you. You are like a son. Oh, that's the biggest compliment you could ever get. And if Nagiyoshi Robot had been, little Ayatsuri had been a human, he would have blushed. But he wasn't a human, but he smiled. And then Dr. Timothy Tall Tail said, and I'd like to introduce you to my son, Timmy Tommy Toby. Timmy Tommy Toby, this is Professor Nagiyoshi-san, and he is a very smart man, and your mom and me both worked with him, and I think you need to meet him because he is very, very, knows everything about robotics there ever was to know. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san laughed and said, oh, not me. Oh, glad to meet you, Timmy Tommy Toby. And I am so happy that you came to meet me because it's actually your father and your mother who know more about robots than anybody else in the world. Oh, they both all laughed at that. And they both went out to get Mr. Nagiyoshi's luggage. Well, when they got there, they were waiting for the gate. And the luggage came around and around and around and around. And out came a battered old suitcase. Oh, that's mine, said Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. It wasn't a very big suitcase. I guess he didn't take a lot of clothes. He came around and around, and 3T went and grabbed it and pulled it. Oh, I got it. I got it, Mr. Nagiyoshi, Professor Nagiyoshi-san. And then Mr. Nagiyoshi-san, wait, we have one more box. We have one more box. So they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And then out from the chute came this box. Well, box. Box it was. It was huge. It was enormous. It was almost 7 feet long. It was enormous. And Professor Tall Tail looked at it and said, what is that? Mr. Nagiyoshi-san just twinkled at him and he said, my traveling lab. I need equipment. We're going to do an upgrade. And he looked at Squeaky Toy. And he said, you, my young little robot, Ayatsuri Ninja robot, you are going to have an upgrade. I have made a solar hat for you, and you're going to enjoy it. They were all so pleased. Well, it took Mr. Professor Talltale and 3T to get that box onto a cart and drag it out to the parking garage. But they all squeezed into the van. They put in the box. Oh, they couldn't almost get in his box, but they put them all in. They stuck it in. Old Squeaky Toy had to climb on the back and sit on Mr. Nikiyoshi-san's suitcase, and they roared off to Kanatoon, where they would spend the night and have a wonderful evening and eat sushi and all sorts of good things and celebrate Mr. Nikiyoshi-san's arrival. Oh, well, it's so nice to see old friends. So Dr. Talltale and Dr. O'Toole Talltale sent 3T to bed, said, 3T, you go to bed. I got Sir Ninja Robot. You go with them. You take off. And then the three of them, Mr. Nikiyoshi-san and the two parents, spent almost all the night sitting up talking and talking and talking and drinking huge amounts of green tea all night long, talking and catching up on all the news of robotics and cyber neuronics and all the rest, until finally they couldn't talk anymore and they all went to sleep and slept in. Well, the next morning, Ayatsuri Ninja Robot decided that he would get up early and he would make everybody some scrambled eggs and some pancakes. And he had some wonderful, wonderful local bacon. He made some bacon, and he made up some grapefruit juice for everybody to drink. He made up a big, huge pot of coffee and a really strong pot of tea for Mr. Nikiyoshi-san. And he had it all ready to go. And when everybody woke up, he took off and started cooking. And by the time everybody came down, there was breakfast. Oh, the type of breakfast you'd love to eat, William. Ooh, pancakes and eggs and toast. Oh, and jam and peanut butter and yogurt and fruit. Oh, blueberries and strawberries, you name it. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san said, well, this is very nice. I like this. Thank you very much. And Ayatsuri Ninja Robot bowed and said, oh, arigato gozaimasu. Oh, Ningyoshi-sama. He called him Ningyoshi-sama because sama is really a way of saying that you are very, very special. And it's a special way of saying you're good. It's a one step up from being san. Everybody else called him Ningyoshi-san, but not Ayatsuri Ninja Robot. He was Ningyoshi-sama. So he bowed and they all had the best breakfast ever. Absolutely the best breakfast ever. And then Mr. Ningyoshi-san said, well, here I am. I'm here to do some robot surgery, if you will. And he laughed a laugh. Oh, he did. He said, and we're going to work on little Ayatsuri Ninja Robot. And with that, he opened the big box. He said, I got to look in my box. And he opened the big box. Well, the big box was on the floor, and it was all laid out. And he opened it up, and inside this box, oh, William, you would love it. Inside this box were so many tools, were so much electronics, were all sorts of memory chips and battery packs and extra storage and all sorts of stuff that I can't even imagine. And he reached in and he pulled out a hat. Well, here was the hat, and it was the solar hat, and it was made just right for Squeaky Toy Robot. It looked like a bush helmet. If you've ever seen old British movies of explorers in India and Africa, it looked just like a bush helmet, except the outside was kind of, it was funny. It was kind of shimmery. It shimmered as you looked at it. And that was because it was made up of all these little cells that, like butterfly cells, like butterfly wings, they all overlapped and they caught the light. And Mr. Nikiyoshi-san said, this is it. This is the solar cap. And Ayatsuri Ninja Robot, if you wear this cap, you will never have to be wound up again, because this cap is going to give you all the power you need. Oh, Ayatsuri Ninja Robot liked that, because if you remember, there have been many a time when he ran out of electricity because nobody had wound him up. She said, oh, Ningyoshi-sama, oh, arigato gozaimasu, thank you. Benedict Ningyoshi-san said, well, okay, that's all well and good, but, you know, this is not just a hat. We have to do a little more than just put a hat on your head, and here's why. because when I put this hat on your head, you are going to get a lot more electricity coming in than you believe you ever have had before, because this hat has a lot more amperage, has a lot more current, and it's going to come out more powerfully, so that you're going to get the equivalent of four times as many volts. You'll be getting 36 volts instead of the 12 you get now, and that's a lot of energy. Well, that energy is going to make you run fast and do a lot of other things, but it's also going to power special applications in you. It is going to give you a lot more endurance, a lot more smarts, and a lot more everything. I answer a Ningyo robot said, oh, thank you. Arigato gozaimasu, Ningyoshi-sama. Well, Professor Talltale said, well, wait a sec. What are we talking about here now? I thought you were just going to bring the solar hat. What is this about the solar hat? I said, well, here it is, said Mr. Ningyoshi-san. Here it is. If I put the solar hat on him, well, he won't run down, that's true. But what good does it do him? He's already a pretty smart little robot. We need to make him smarter. Oh, and here's how we're going to make him smarter. So he reached in, and he pulled out a long, oblong shape, square, and he said, this is my enhanced battery pack. This is a big battery pack. And this battery pack is going to increase his amperage and his voltage 3-4 times. And his amperage is going to run really high. So the current that's coming out is going to be really, really high. And so when he has that amperage and that current, then he can actually run more things. He can run a better storage. And he reached in and he pulled out another oblong piece of equipment. And he said, look at this. Now, this is my storage pack for little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. Now, when I first made him, I thought I'd just give him enough memory that he'd never run out of memory. And so here's the one, what he's running with. He's running with a 100 petabyte memory pack. And that 100 petabyte memory pack should do it really well. But then I started thinking, and I thought, well, but if he is really enhanced, he's going to run out of space right away. Like, let's say he wanted to do some digital recording, and he tried to record. Well, yeah, but he'd run out of recording pretty quick with just 100 petabytes. So I built a new one, and this is a 100 exabyte hard drive. And this 100 exabyte hard drive, you know what? He could take 11 million movies, and he could put them in just one exabyte. So he's got a lot of room, and he can do a lot of things now, and we're going to put this in. And I needed the new solar hat because it'll provide the current, the amperage I need to run all this extra memory for him. So the battery pack will be bigger, the memory will be bigger, and then what we can do is we can then add other capacities, other aspects, other features. Oh, the Mr. Professor O'Toole Talltale said, whoa, new features. Like, what kind of new features? Well, here's some of the things we can do. For example, we can put in more languages. Now, I only gave him 100 or so languages when he started, and that meant he could speak them and read them, but, you know, I mean, basically. But there's many more languages. There's thousands of languages on Earth, so I decided I'd put in all the languages I could find. So now he has every language on Earth, and even he's able to learn maybe animal languages, because, you know, birds and bees talk to each other, and dogs talk to each other, and bears talk to each other. We just don't understand what they're saying, but they do talk. And so now I think Squeaky Toy can talk to the animals too, if he really wants to. And then there are cultural expectations that go along with different languages, you know, because after all, in some languages, they use different words and different formations, and they're all expecting things. So I put in a whole cultural set, a cultural context set, so that he can understand cultural context. So if Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot were speaking with, and he thought for a second, and he said, well, let's say he was thinking with a member of your friends from the Shuksan indigenous nation. Well, they have a very different perspective on the world. They see the world a different way. And so if he was just speaking their language, but he came from a Japanese perspective, then he might not understand them, and they might not understand him. But if he understands when they talk about the Earth, and they say the Earth, when they say the Earth is sacred, they mean it's sacred because they can feel it with their feet. They can feel the growth of the earth and the growth of good growing things with their feet. Whereas in Japan, we walk around in shoes on concrete, and it's not quite the same thing. So I want to make a squeaky toy. Oh, Dr. O'Toole Talto said, that's very interesting. We've never thought about that. Hold on then, listen. We have some design and engineering capabilities that we put in here. Now, I've loaded in, as part of his operating system and as part of the modules that I put in his battery pack, I put in the ability to do engineering tasks so that he can do engineering design and engineering construction. So he can not only design whatever you want him to design, from a computer to a rocket ship, but he can also sketch that design on any application you want, whether to draw it by hand or use a computer software, and he can tell you how to design it, and then you can work with it. And this is a prototype, because no other robot has ever been able to do this, but we can do it. And they used to call this artificial intelligence, but there's nothing artificial about this intelligence. This is all cyber neurons working together to make someone really smart. But you need all the energy I'm putting in with this battery and this solar hat. Dr. O'Toole Talto was starting to really have shivers down his back, because he was thinking, wow, this is all the things you can do? And he said, yes, and then there's more, but I'll talk to it as we go. So let's see, where can I work on him? Well, at that point, Dr. O'Toole Talto said, well, I don't know. There's no place in this house. I don't have a workshop in this house at the moment, and I don't. And he thought, wait. Solomon Cuttlefish. And Dr. Nigiyoshi-san looked at him and said, Solomon Cuttlefish? I know that name. How come I know that name? And Professor O'Toole Talltale said, oh, Solomon Cuttlefish is our neighbor, and he's just about the best robot technician anybody's ever found. But he doesn't have a PhD like we do, so they don't give him a lot of credit at Washington Gumption University. But man, oh man, they wouldn't be able to survive without him. Oh, well, I'd like to meet this Mr. Cuttlefish. And can we work on his? Yes, he's got the best work table ever. And so they all got up from the table, and they said, come on, Squeaky Toy, we're going over to see Curtis and his dad. And then 3T and Dr. Talltale, Timothy Talltale, grabbed the big box that Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, and they wrestled it out the door, and Squeaky Toy ran ahead, and they all walked next door to Solomon Cuttlefish. Oh, well, Solomon Cuttlefish, Mr. Nigiyoshi-san? The Mr. Nigiyoshi-san? Oh, Mr. Nigiyoshi-san. He took his hand and he shook it and shook it and shook it. Oh, Mr. Nigiyoshi-san, I have every book you've ever read, I've ever written. Oh, Mr. Nigiyoshi, you're here? And Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, yes. And can I use your workspace? Oh, Solomon Cuttlefish was so happy. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, my goodness. Well, then let's get started. So they cleared a space in the garage. And Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, here, I am Sir Ningyo Robot. You climb up here on this table and lie down for me. And he did. He said, now we're going to have to take your overalls off. Okay. So he took his overalls off. And there he was, just a plain robot. Nothing on, just robot. And robot is robot, just a robot. But he looked pretty cool anyway. And Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, and we're going to have to put you to sleep. And you know what he did? He reached around behind his ear. And he wiggled a little bit, and he thought, And Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot turned off. Timothy Talltale looked at him, and he said, is that an on-off switch? Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, yes, it is. I didn't know he had an on-off switch. Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, well, I didn't tell you. Oh, well, then he was off. Then Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, okay, here's where we start. We start with the battery pack. And then he reached on the side of Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, and nobody could see where his fingers went, really, because it was so fast. But he pushed here, pushed there, pushed there, pushed there, pushed there, pushed there, and popped open the Ningyo Robot. And there was the Ningyo Robot. His whole chest, from his neck down to his legs, was opened up. Oh, William. Oh, now, if they opened you up like that, William, it would not be the same. Because if they opened you up like that, which I hope they never, ever, ever do, you'd see your ribs and then underneath your ribs you'd have your heart and your stomach, and then behind your stomach you'd have your liver, and then you'd have your big intestine and your small intestines, and you'd have your kidneys and your appendix, all that stuff. And you'd see it and it'd be like, oh, this is gross, oh. But not Ningyo Robot. Mm-mm. Ningyo Robot was all neatly laid out with a big motherboard and a big oblong pack, and then another big pack, and everything was pushed in so tightly. It was so tight, and there were little lights that were going on internally, and it was running. But it was just running because those were the lights that kept things going while Ningyo Robot was turned off. And Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, okay, first we have to start taking things apart, and I have to turn everything off utterly. And he reached inside, and he pushed a little switch on the motherboard, and everything stopped working. Now Ningyo Robot was totally off. And then he started whistling. Mr. Nigyoshi-san reached into his kit. Oh, and he started pulling out tools. Oh, William, I wish I had tools like this. Little electric tools, electric screwdrivers, electric drills. And he started taking things apart. Bzzip, bzzip, bzzip. And then out of his box, you know what he pulled? He pulled a little container so that he could hold each one of the screws in just the right sequence because they all had to be put in right. And bzzip, bzzip. And out came the battery pack. He said, look, here's his battery pack. Now, this battery pack is okay. It's okay for robots, but it is not this one. And he reached into his big, huge box, and he pulled out an incredibly looking rectangular piece of box. It was exactly the same size, but it looked like it was diamond. It was all shiny and diamondy on the outside and all diamondy on the inside. And he said, this one, this is what I've been working on for almost a year. This is the battery pack. It will hold all the energy he gets from the solar cap. And this will give him 36 volts. And it will give him so many amps, he can run for hours and hours and hours before he runs down. And it can power all of his software. And he put it in. And he went back in reverse. He put in all the screws one after the other because he had very carefully put all the screws in order in sequence as he put them out. So when he put them back, they all went right back in. And this is a lesson, dear William, for you when you start reverse engineering your own robots. Always pay attention to where the screws go and put them in a little container. You won't lose them. Then he said, all right, now we have to change out his memory. And he looked over and there was another box. And the box had wires running into it. And he said, this is my 100 petabyte hard drive. And I thought this was going to be the end all and be all. But no. I've increased this 1,000 times. I now have 100 exabyte. Oh, exabyte. Okay, William, look up exabyte. Ask your dad how to do it. Your dad is good at this. He'll tell you how much is it in exabyte. He said, but this is going to be great. And he pulled out a box. Oh, this box was beautiful. And it looked just like the one that was inside Squeaky Toy, but it was a huge box. And he said, in this box, I have engineering design software. I have every language in the world embedded. I have all the scripts. I have just so much I put in. I've been working and working and working to install all the software I needed in this box. And there's still room for more. And Squeaky Toy's going to use it and fill it. And then he took out more tools. Oh, and he took out another box and started unscrewing. Beep, beep, and unwiring. Well, every time he unwired a wire, you know what he did? He would take a little piece of tape and he put it around the tape and he'd mark off where it came from. So that when he finally pulled out the memory box, all the wires that went into it were all clearly labeled, so he'd know how to put them back in. This is another trick, little William. You will learn to your own benefit. We'll label things. So then he took the big box. Oh, it was a soft one. He put it in, very carefully positioned it. He pushed it into his little receiver contacts, and then he started going backwards. He screwed everything in, plugged all the wires in, did everything. He said, there, that'll do it. That's good. So now we can close them up. And he did. He took the front end and he closed it. Well, if you'd looked into Squeaky Toy, you'd see this motherboard, you see the battery pack, the memory, you'd see little servo motors in his arms and his legs that made his arms move. You could look at it all. It would take you weeks and weeks to understand how it was put together. But they didn't have time. It was like, wait, we just watched you. And he closed it up. Okay. And he ran his hands up and down and everything locked in. There. So then 3T said, well, is he done? Is he ready? Is he all finished? Oh, no, said Mr. Nigyoshi-san. No, now the important one, his head. His head? Yes, yes. Here, help me sit him up. So they bent little Squeaky Toy into a sitting position, put him up against a board, and held him there. And he said, okay, what's next? And then he started playing around the bottom of Squeaky Toy's hair. Well, people couldn't really see his fingers. They moved so fast. But he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. And all of a sudden, the top of Squeaky Toy's head popped off. Boop! His hair, his everything, all popped off. Woo! And there. Oh, my goodness, William. Now, if we popped the top of your head off, you'd see your brain. And your brain would be pulsing, and it would be full of blood, and it would be full of neurons sparking, and it would be full of so much intelligence that the world doesn't know what to do with it because you're so smart. But no, this was a robot, and it wasn't full of brains. It was full of circuitry and motherboards and little things that stuck in, motherboards that stuck in, and little electric devices for his eyes. And I couldn't even describe it. I'd have to sit there and take pictures of it and look it up. But Mr. Nagiyoshi-san had it all in his head. He said, well, look, here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to change out some of this circuitry. I want to put in a secure radio frequency circuit so that you can talk to him on a cell phone or in radio communications. Because this way, if anybody steals our little robot, then you can call him up and talk to him, and he'll talk to you, and you'll help get him back. And so here's what he did. He pulled out a little motherboard, a little tiny board, and he went over to his head, and there was a little empty slot, and he put that in there. Now, he's going to be able to speak to you, and it's going to be encrypted, so nobody can interfere. They won't know what he's saying, but he can call you up, and I'll give you the number. He's going to have a special number you can call on a special radio frequency dial. I'm going to give you the, and we'll do it. Then he started humming. And then he pulled out another motherboard. And he said, I think you need some amplified sensory inputs. Huh? 3T said, what's an amplified sensory input? Well, I want to let him hear, and he needs to hear across a much wider decibel range than you can hear. I mean, humans can hear a certain decibel range. Look up decibel. It'll tell you the range. And dogs, for example, can hear a much broader range. So sometimes you wonder why your dog knows you're there. Well, the dog can hear you. Sometimes dogs get upset with fireworks or with thunder. That's because they hear things we can't hear, and the fireworks really get to them. And if you blow a dog whistle, dogs can hear it, but you can't. So this is something that's going to help Squeaky Toy amplify his audio. And besides, many birds and insects and animals work at this audio range, and it's going to let him hear them and listen to them. So he put another motherboard in. He took one out, said, this was nice, but I'll put this one in. Put that motherboard in. And then he said, ooh, and you know, I have Squeaky Toy so that he can see sort of into the ultraviolet and into the infrared a little bit. So he, for example, can see the pollen path. The 3-2 looked at Ningyoshi-san. The pollen path? Yeah, the pollen path on flowers. And 3-2 said, well, what's the pollen path on flowers? And Mr. Ningyoshi-san said, well, when bees come into a flower, they want to get the pollen. And so flowers put down colors on their petals, and the bees look at them like they're a flight path, and they go right into the pollen. Only they're in the ultraviolet spectrum, and we don't see the ultraviolet, so we don't see the pollen path. But if you had, what do they call it? And Professor Light Talltale said, a blue light? Yes, if you had a blue light, you could see them because it's an ultraviolet light. Oh, said 3T. Professor Talltale said, 3T, you could use that for a science report. Oh, ever the Professor Talltale trying to get 3T to think of his homework. So he said, okay, I got this one. And he took another motherboard, a little tiny motherboard that was attached to the long wires. And those wires went to Squeaky Toy's eyes. And he very carefully unplugged them, and he notated where they came from. And then he took his new motherboard and plugged that in, and then plugged the wires back in, multiple wires, not just one, not just two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, so many to count. He plugged them all back in. Said, there, now he can go into the infrared and into the violet, ultraviolet. He can see at night. He can see everything. This is going to be really, really, really good. I really like this. And then he did one more thing. He said, now, in his hard drive, I have put software that gives him enhanced analytical capability. And it's that he can do high-level fuzzy logic where he can look at things that don't go together, that don't have sharp edges, but that he can put them together and he can make sense and make a pattern. And I've given him statistical software so that he can do multi-factor processing. But he needs to be able to see all of the different pieces, and he needs to be able to imagine them. So in order to imagine them, he needs to be able to put together visual and audio, and he needs to put it together in a little fuzzy logic board that lets him imagine things. Well, this is very different from Squeaky Toy, because if you've noticed, Squeaky Toy doesn't have a lot of imagination. Squeaky Toy will do what you tell you, and he's polite, and he's very, very sensible. But he's not imaginative, not the way you are, 3T. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san looked at 3T and he winked, and 3T felt like, yes, he sees I'm imaginative. Just like you, William. Imaginative. Said, so we're going to put this in, and this is going to help the squeaky toy, your little squeaky toy, have analytic capabilities and imagination beyond anything he has. And he very carefully put this in. All this motherboard had little diamond things on it, and it was like, wow. He put it in. Ooh. He said, there, I'm done. And then he closed his head back on top, and he started playing underneath his skull, and all of a sudden something snapped, oh, and it was done. And there was Squeaky Toy. Okay, let's lie him down now. And he lay him back down. And then he said, finally, we need to look at his circuits up top, and we need to make sure that they're waterproof and that they won't short out if his hat falls off. Well, nobody had thought of that. So Mr. Nagiyoshi started feeling around his head, and there they were. There were five little contacts on the top of his head that he had already put in. But he very carefully took the contacts, and then he rubbed them a little bit, and he pushed them in, pushed them around, and said, okay, now, watch what's going to happen. And he pushed them around, and over each one of the contacts came a little covering. He said, there. Now, this is a very, very light film covering. And as soon as he puts his hat on, this film covering will retract. And it will let the contacts connect. And then there's a slight magnetic field that will hold the hat on. But if the hat comes off, then these films will cover the contacts and they'll become waterproof. Oh. Well, finally, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, last of all, we need to update his operating system. Because his operating system is a year old, and I have worked on a new one, and we're going to give him a new operating system. And 3T said, wait, don't, no. Well, does that mean we won't have Squeaky Toy? Does it mean we won't have Squeaky Toy anymore? Squeaky Toy won't be here? And Mr. Nagiyoshi-san laughed and laughed. He said, no. Here's what I'm going to do. And he took the old computing memory pack that I was in Squeaky Toy, and he put it on the side, and he took a plug, and he plugged a couple of wires in, and then he ran those wires into what looked like a little laptop, only it was a little bigger than any laptop he'd seen, and this was beefier and had all sorts of symbols and everything on the keyboard. He said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take everything he learned from you, everything he's found in the last year, everything he's experienced, and I'm going to run it into my new operating system. And the new operating system is going to load that into Squeaky Toy, plus all of the capabilities that I just put in, so that when he wakes up, he will be the good old Ayatsuri Ninja robot you know and love, but he'll also be a brand new robot that you'll never have experienced before. And he said, ready? And he got in his keyboard, and he typed a couple characters, and then he said, go! And the keyboard started running. And Mr. Nagiyoshi-san looked up and said, oh, wow, oh, well, this thing had taken hours. He started in the mid-morning, and it was almost time for dinner. Nobody had even had lunch. They were all so riveted to what he was doing. And finally, Dr. O'Toole Talltale said, oh, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san, we are all famished. How would if we go back to our house? I can make some tea for everybody. We get out some chips and hot sauce and salsa, and then we can have a beautiful dinner, and we'll just have a wonderful night together. And how long will it take for Squeaky Toy to come back? Mr. Nagiyoshi-san looked at his watch. He said, well, he should be done by tomorrow morning. Oh. So he looked at Solomon Cuttlefish, and he said, can we leave him here? Oh, Solomon Cuttlefish was so pleased. And yes, indeed, I'll lock it up. Nobody will touch it. No, Curtis, don't let anybody in. And that's what it. And then he shut the door And they left Squeaky Toy there all night with the operating system running, and the BIOS update. And then they all went back to Professor O'Toole Tall Tales. And they had chips and salsa, and they had tea. And then Dr. O'Toole Tall Tales said, "Well, it's been a rough day. I don't know if I can spend a lot of time making. So you know what? I think we ought to just order pizza." So they did. They called in the pizza store around the corner, and they ordered 4 super huge pizzas with everything on them. And they were delivered, and then they all had a wonderful little party, drinking water and eating pizza and having fresh fruit and dessert. And Mr. Ningyoshi-san felt like, this is like being home with my family. This is so nice. And he was so happy. He was so happy to see his students. And they were so happy to see Mr. Ningyoshi-san. And 3T was so pleased. He was looking at Curtis saying, "Whoa, baby." And Curtis was so happy to be there. They couldn't wait to tell Kwame in the morning. And that's how they spent the night. And they all went to bed. And they had a good sleep. And Squeaky Toy got updated. Oh, well, my William-san, that is my story for the day. And that's the way it happened. And we'll have to wait for tomorrow because, well, we know that there's some ninja coming. We know that Squeaky Toy is in danger. And we know that the recovery team does not take no for an answer. So you'll have to see what happens next. But meanwhile, you have a wonderful sleep tonight, William. You give your little sister a kiss goodnight. You hug your daughter. You hug your mama for being wonderful parents. And I love you, William. And I'll tell you another tale soon. Good night.